Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another Wednesday night here on Blog Talk Radio, and we welcome you to God's Purpose Ministry, where I am your serving host, Pastor Olivia Deloach. Well, beloved, I am in the wonderful city tonight of Kansas City, Missouri, and just got in here late last night. So I hope and pray that this go well, because I don't have the usual setup. So I pray we do not get disconnected or anything go down. So I'm swinging it tonight the best that we can. So be praying for us. Yes, beloved, we are going to continue in our book, Vertical Leap. Yes, 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 by the wonderful Al Hollingsworth. Vertical Leap. And tonight, yes, tonight, we are talking about choose who pushes you. Choose who pushes you. That means, beloved, you have a choice of who push you. Now, what do we say every week? Get your pen and pad, your tablet, whatever it is that you jot notes that you can go back and read. But until then, let's make our declaration. And tonight we go, I declare that I have a sound mind filled with good thoughts, not thoughts of defeat. By faith, I am well able. I am anointed. I am equipped. I am empowered. My thoughts are guided by God's word every day. No, listen to that. No obstacle can defeat me, because my mind is programmed for victory. This is my declaration. Praise God. And Father God, we just thank you yet for another day. We thank you for the mind of Christ. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing. We thank you for victory. We thank you that you are the great I am and more than enough. We thank you right now for this very moment, this very season, this very time, and purpose and destiny in our life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, beloved, we're going to just jump right on in here and talk about the vertical leap in our life. And the vertical leap is how to birth your dreams, your visions, and ideals into reality. I am having myself a ball reading this along with you. All right, but let us get started, because we only have but a few moments here. It goes faster than you know. All right, and I just thank you. I just want to stop and thank each and every one of you who listen in week after week and be such a support from different states. I want to shout out to Georgia. I want to shout out to Arkansas. I want to shout out to South Carolina. I want to shout out to those in Missouri, Illinois. I just want to shout out those who get on the line, and I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your encouragement. Amen. So now let's get started. Have you ever done something and looked back and said, I don't understand why I did that? I know you have, because I have, right? I don't know why I did it. You know, there used to be a saying back in the day, the devil made me do it. Or you always say, I've always said I would never do something like that, and then I did it. Yeah, you know, like, I'll never let somebody do this. I'll never go somewhere. I'll never. And then you do it, and the question becomes, why? Why we do it? So let's look at it. A lot of times it was something you disliked. And what I'm getting ready to read here to you, beloved, this may not be your plight, and then it may be, but if this ain't, not, and I'm going to use the word ain't, if this ain't what's happening or has happened in your life, there's something I'm sure that you can put in here, praise God, but you may have been something that you dislike in your parents. in life. I remember I can talk about me. I'm okay with it. I remember that my mom, I think I had one of the greatest mothers in the world. No, I don't think. I know I did. I had one of the greatest mothers in the world. But there are some situations and circumstances that she went through in her life that I told myself I would never, never, ever, ever, never go through them. I mean, I thought she was crazy for doing it. But now that I've got older, I've learned some things and I've seen some things, and I realize we do go through things that we wish we hadn't, or we made some wrong choices or whatever the situation. But we dislike things in our parents' life, whatever circumstances may be. Or like your mother maybe was taken advantage of by her boyfriend back in the day, and then you get involved with someone who takes advantage of you. Or maybe your daddy was never there for you and your siblings. And then you decide when you go come along that you'll go play, let me upgrade you. You go play golf, or you go bowling, or you go hanging with the dudes, or you go just fishing, or wherever you do, you go instead of going to and decide to go and be with your child, to hang out with your own children at their baseball games or their dance recitals or their plays, or just go out and throw a baseball or a football or jump rope with them. If you're doing the same thing that your parents did. And so we're going to find out as we read in this chapter how to go into the depth about how to stop doing things that we don't intend to do. The key is understanding the relationship between the conscious and the subconscious mind. And beloved, we're going to talk a lot about the conscious and the subconscious mind on tonight. Yes, indeed. Every one of us has a divided mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The two parts, the conscious and the subconscious, it wars with each other for prominence. Though they both want control, they are not equally qualified to lead. Come on. The conscious mind is the most qualified leader because it can perform the following four functions. I need you to get this. I need you to write this down. This is what the conscious mind does. It recognizes. Number one, recognize. Find out what is happening in your environment and what God is doing in your life. Okay? That's to recognize. Number two, identify. Determine whether information is true or false. Good or bad. Come on here. Let's start right there. We have to what? Identify. And the identify means to determine whether information is true or false. How many times that we as individuals run with something? Soon we hear something, we run with it. Or we get the back end of it. Or we catch a one word and we assume this is what happened. Or better yet, we get it third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand, second hand, and we repeat it, or we make assumption, or we are already made our judgment. But here it says the conscious mind, identify it. And the number three, organize. We have to learn to organize. We have to learn to group information for our easy identification. We got to be able to sort this stuff out. We got to be able to look at it for what it is, put it in its proper perspective, all right? And then four, we have to file, F-I-L-E, we have to file it. Remember, experiences in order to make future decisions. You got to file it. You got to download. You got to remember what was good and what was not so good, what worked and what don't work, what was the repercussion and in the situation. File it. So we recognize it, we identify it, we organize, and we file it. That is how the conscious mind operates. You can see that the conscious mind is active in processing information and making choices. The conscious mind, beloved. In contrast, now listen, the subconscious mind makes a poor leader. Not that it can't lead, but a poor leader.
We said the best of the two, the conscious mind is a good leader. The subconscious mind is a poor leader, but they both lead, okay? From the day you were born, it has passionately reacted to sensory input. When you were an infant, a baby, the subconscious mind worked effectively to ensure your survival. Come on. When you were hungry, guess what? It took you to holler until you were fed. You know how baby do? They just holler. We tell them if they're hollering and crying, they're either hungry, wet, or sleepy. You learn to survive. The subconscious mind made sure your needs were met. That's the subconscious mind. As you grow older, your parents appeal to have your conscious mind override your subconscious desire. This is called becoming mature, beloved. For example, when you train children to share and to give, you appeal to the conscious mind. Yes. The subconscious mind is not interested in sharing. No, And giving. Not the subconscious mind. It only interested in your bodily pleasure and comfort. Yes. Sharing has to be taught, beloved. Yes, we are taught to share. When you hear adults talking, listen, catch these three words. Me, my, I. Yeah. When you hear adults talking, adults, grown folks. Me, my, I. Selfishly, they're often talking from the self-conscious, which is self-centered. When you're always talking about me, you're always talking about I, you're always talking about mine, that is talking from a selfish place, a self-centered place. I just want to share this. I remember growing up, one of my aunts, I love her to life, but her conversation was always, whatever she did was mine. She would tell her children, get over there and pick that up off of my floor. Did you mop my floor? Did you make my bed? Did you wash my dishes? Go over there and turn my TV off or on. Everything was mine. And that used to just drive me bananas. And I used to tell my mom, well, we know it. Give me my glass up there in that my cabinet. And here we see that anything is me, my. It is self-centered. It's selfish, right? The subconscious mind is capable of taking in information and does not discriminate whether the information is true or false, good or bad. Mm-mm. It's no respect to person. It will process information based on the programmer's belief. If you believe that everybody's out to get you, no matter what you hear, it's going to always be a defense mechanism. It's going to always be seen in a negative light because you think everybody's out to get you. When the subconscious mind hears you're lazy, listen to this. When the subconscious mind hears you're lazy, it defines the meaning of lazy by matching lazy to similar subconscious file. Whatever downloaded in your mind, that's what it's going to identify with. It then files that information according to these pre-programmed beliefs, whatever you believe in. For example, Uncle Bob was so rich, he didn't have to work. He was lazy. He was so rich. He didn't have to work, so he was lazy. Or lazy is good. That means lazy is good. He was so rich, he didn't have to work, so lazy now become a good thing. So we all want to get money, but we can be lazy and don't work, okay? Or it can be this. Bill, Tyrone, whoever is on drugs and will not work and is lazy. He's an outcast of the family. Now, lazy is what? It's bad. See what I'm saying? It's what your mind program, how you pre-program this, how you file and download this. Let's talk about the battle of the mind. When you are faced with decisions, your the conscious and the subconscious mind start to war. That's the battle of the mind. Talk about the battlefield of the mind. It's when the conscious and the subconscious is warring. If the conscious does not fight to stay in control, beloved, the subconscious mind takes over and pulls up the old past file, which direct you to act out of conditioned behavior. You know that flashback, let's step back, the old me. Mm-hmm. Don't let Jesus rise up. Don't let Seal rise up. You know, you better keep me down. That subconscious mind, if we don't, it begin to take control. This response is called habits. We fall back, and these people say, pick up bad habits. When you want to retreat back to the flesh, your subconscious is in control. So now we retreat back to bad habits, okay? Here's a specific example. You grew up in a family where your father abused your mother, huh? When there was no food on the table. You know, there was way back in the day, I used to hear that way back in the day, men come home and their food wasn't cooked. They say they'll knock the woman, the old lady, that's what they call her, the old lady upside the head. I hate that. Oh, God, I hate that. But anyway, they knock out the throat. So he abused, that was abuse. You said to yourself, I would never treat my wife. I'm just saying men. We're just going to use men here. I'll never treat my wife like that. And then every time you think about what your dad did, you become more and more angry. What happens to that file every time you think about it? Habits. Habits form and the file expands. The more I hate it, the more I become like which I hate, because, and this is the word, beloved, this is scripture, the more I hate it, the more I become like that which I hate, because the file takes up more of the mind. The word of God warns us not to judge in Luke 6:37. Reads, remember whatever I give my, this is what Luke 6:37 say, remember whatever I give my attention to, its spirit will come live in me. Whatever you dwelling on, whatever that you thinking about constantly, consistently, whatever you dwelling, whatever you just bounce around in there meditating on, you grow up and you get married, beloved. One day you get laid off your job, frustrated. You're not a Christian now. You're not a Christian. You stop by the bar. Come on. Catch me here just for a second, not long. We're not going to stay that long. You stop by the bar on the way home and you get drunk. The drinks impair the ability of your conscious. You got to grab this, your conscious mind. Therefore, you are operating out of what? A subconscious file. I'm just giving you some example here. You don't have the ability to recognize, identify, organize, and file at this point. You go home and there is no food on the table. What behavior will be expressed when there's no food on the table and you're unconscious? The subconscious file, beloved, opens up and you do what is in the file. You hit. You did exactly what you hated in your father. When the drinks wear off and you become conscious again, Listen. You are sorry you hit her. You allow your old subconscious file to take control. You see how that works? When you out of it, when you let something else come in and take over, you're reacting in your subconscious. You're doing that which you hate. What if I said, when I want to do good, evil is always present. He's in the subconscious state. But when you come to yourself, remember it said when the son who went to the pigs, but when he came to himself, when he came to his conscious mind, okay, now you recognize the wrong here. Ask yourself, beloved, ask yourself, who is my because? Come on, that's a good place. That's a good place to throw your hands up for a rest. Ask yourself, you ask yourself, who is my because? Look, listen. Be in because, B-E, means to exist. Yes, to be means to exist. And cause, the C-A-U-S-E, means to incite into action. Yes, one more time. You want to write this down? Be means to exist, and cause means to excite into action. Listen. Whatever pushes you becomes your because. The question was, who is my because? Whatever pushes you becomes your because. Whatever is your because becomes your God. When we encounter a stimulus, most of us are pushed around by our past programming, those old stinking thoughts, that stinking thinking, beloved. That's because we go unconscious and let our subconscious minds rule us. But our actions do not have to be dictated by the stimulus we receive. We can consciously choose what will push us. In other words, make a choice. Make a decision. You can't get caught up in the caught up. Okay? You got to step back, and my favorite word, you got to breathe. You just can't react. You can't let that old file download. You can't let that file download of hurt. You can't let that file of rejection download. You can't let that suspicion you done it to me and I'll do it before you do it to me. You got to reject all that, okay? In any situation, you need to ask, am I being pushed by good or not so good? That's two good questions, beloved, right there. Am I being pushed by good or not so good? If you see that not so good from your past is pushing you, then push back. Don't respond to the push from anything other than good. You may need to go back and look at what is pushing you. If not so good is pushing, person A, in turn, person A pushes you, the domino's response will be not so good, okay? How do you recognize? Good question. How do you recognize what is good? Listen. Romans 8 and 28 says this, and this is one of my favorite, and what my ministry is built on is built. The ministry, God's purpose, is built on this scripture right here, Romans 8 and 28. And we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, that's the King James Version. In other words, when God pushes you, it is for your good. You cannot define good by your feelings. Nope, not by your feelings. What appears to be good could be bad. I can make a lot of money, and it can be bad. There are dope dealers who are rich, but they are miserable, beloved. Keep your mind stayed on God. If you want to have good, God's word says this, pray without ceasing. That's Caesar. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Keep your eyes stayed on Jesus, because he is the what? The author and finisher of your faith. How do I recognize something as God? Good question. I like that. We was going to talk about that. How do I recognize something as God? God is the actual, and the actual cannot be in motion. Listen to that. God is the actual, and the actual cannot be in motion. If it moves, it cannot be the Alpha and the Omega. The Bible tells us the beginning and the end, because God has been there and done that. The devil doesn't know anything because he hasn't been there yet. Anything that's going somewhere has not yet arrived. That's good. If it's going, if it's moving, if it's in action, if it's in motion, do you catch this? It ain't arrived yet. So when you said I'd arrive, not if you're still in moving, not if you're still going, you ain't got there yet. Okay? Praise God. Woo, that one, that was good. The vertical leap. Oh, man, I just got excited about that. The vertical leaps means this. I will stay conscious and choose who pushes me. And that's what we're talking about, the leap in your life, that we get closer to those dreams, those desires, that destiny. You have to choose who pushes you. Remember, whoever or whatever you allow to push you becomes what? Your God, with a little G, becomes your God. You got to watch who you let orchestrate and lead you. Have you ever read Paul's discussion in Romans 7 of how he wanted to do good, but he would find himself doing evil instead? In the next few paragraphs here, we're going to take a fresh look at what Paul said and keeping in mind what we've learned about the conscious and the subconscious. Paul starts by telling what it's like to battle against the subconscious mind without the help of Jesus. And this is what he said. I felt fine so long as I did not understand what the law really demands. But when I learned the truth, I realized that I had broken the law and was a sinner doomed to die. That comes out of the Living Bible's translation in Romans 7 and the 9th verse. I felt fine. Listen to what it said. I felt fine so long as I did not understand what the law really demands. Seeing ignorance here. But when I learned the truth, I realized that I had broken the law and was a sinner doomed to die. When you were unsaved, you did not experience guilt. You didn't feel guilty about that. I knew when I was in the world. I knew when I was out there running around doing stuff I had been. Because I was in sin, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. Anything. I was having a good time, at least I thought. And guess what? It was good. It was good for that season and that time. In my sin, it was good to the flesh. But the long, the repercussions, the consequences was not good. You get me? Even when you did something wrong, as long as you had filed away the action as good and you think it's good, you didn't know it was wrong because your only feeder of reality came from the subconscious mind. Some people could sleep around as long as they didn't get caught. Come on now. Because that's what they heard was good from a parent or a peer or a culture. You do what you see. Now, somebody wants to take something, you don't. If it's all in the family, if all we do is lay around, shack up, and everybody's doing, that's our normal. That's the norm. If you're under peer pressure and all your peers is girls losing their virginity at a certain age or all the men, guys you hanging with is tipping, that becomes your norm of the culture of my community. If this is what we do, whatever it is we do, all we know how to do is sit around and get high and sit on the stoop, you do that. Amen. Praise God. God laws make you aware that you had bad files you thought were good. When you get in the Word of God, beloved, when you get in the Word and the Word gets into you, when you are seeking God, His face through prayer and supplication, then you begin to know, oh, this is good. Oh, we got to wrap it up. I didn't know we got this far. It's about time to go. God wants the conscious mind under His influence so that we can override the subconscious mind. Yes, beloved. So we're not going to be able to finish all this tonight because we're about up. But who's pushing you? Who are you following? What files are in your mind? Get rid of stinking thinking. Change the program. Be reprogrammed. Beloved, we're going to have to close now. That was getting so good to me. We'll pick up next week. But I love you in Christ. There's nothing you can do about it. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I commend you. I ask you. I request you to ask Him to come in and be the head of your life. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. I just pray Godspeed upon you. This week will be a blessed week. And tune in with me next week. Share with someone if you think this has been a blessing. I love you in Christ. There's nothing you can do about it. Have a blessed night, and let's make this vertical leap together, how to birth our dreams, vision, and ideals. God bless you.